You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Riding his motorcycle on a trail through El Dorado County. Zimbabwe is beginning extradition proceedings to bring an American dentist to the African nation to stand trial. Dr. Walter Palmer is the Minnesota man who killed a protected lion known as Cecil earlier this month. Palmer reportedly paid $50,000 for the guided hunt, but Zimbabwe officials say the lion was lured out of a national park so Palmer could shoot it. A former University of Cincinnati police officer charged with murder is free on bond. Ray Tenzing was able to post 10% of his $1 million bail in order to be released yesterday evening. This is USA Headline News.
Hey, what's going on here?
Haven't you heard? Handwriting can make you awesome, and that's why BIC's on a mission to save it.
Handwriting can make me awesome?
Yeah. Writing could boost your self-confidence, spark creativity, and it definitely makes you a better reader. And that's pretty awesome.
Huh, I never thought of it like that. I want in. Toss me a BIC.
This year at Back to School, join the movement with BIC and fight for your right. See how awesome writing can be, how great you can be. Learn more at BIC, fight for your right. That's WRITE.com. Or grab a BIC today and see for yourself.
Musicians, it's back to school time at Guitar Center. Guitars, drums, keyboards, DJ, and more. Time to get the school gear you really want. This weekend, we're giving you a huge student discount, and you don't even need to be a student. Save up to 25% off qualifying products. Get deals like an Epiphone Les Paul for just $99. Select drumsticks, 10 pair for $10. An 88-key digital piano for just $199. Or a Newmark turntable for just $69. Don't miss Guitar Center's back to school savings now through Sunday.
One of the greatest mysteries in aviation history continues as investigators work to confirm whether debris found on France's Reunion Island is from missing Malaysian Airlines Flight 370.
French aviation investigators are due to get their hands on the suspected...
Well, we're here, and let me just tell you about the weather, Bill, because this is going to be a perfect weekend for you to go down to the boat. Of course, today was sunny. I think it was warmer than 89 degrees. That's what they said, but I actually think it was maybe warmer than that. Tonight is mostly clear, mostly sunny. Tomorrow, 87 degree high. Tomorrow night, Saturday, there's a 20% slight chance of thunderstorms, and then partly cloudy. Again on Sunday, mostly sunny, high of about 88 degrees. And then into Monday, again, a beautiful day, about 89 degrees. So we should have some great weather for this weekend, and certainly great weather if you're going down to the boat. And I know you were down at the boat last weekend because I know I talked to John Manfreda, our other sports guy, who this week is on his way to Boston. Last week he was down at the shore. I think I want John's life. But in any event, I know you had a great time, and he had a great time out on your boat last weekend.
Well, we had his whole family with us. We had his wife, one of his daughters, his cousin's daughter, and his cousin's daughter's boyfriend. So I felt like, and my wife, so we had like nine people on board, and a lot of them were being bow riders in 30-knot wind. So we didn't do a whole lot of sailing, but we did a lot of motoring, and, you know, the bay was beautiful, the river was great. The wind scared a lot of the boaters, other boaters away, but we didn't have any problems, and we all had a blast. And this is despite a non-working refrigeration system and a semi-functional air conditioning system with a noisy pump. But on the other hand, you know, Pat, sometimes you just make the best of things in life. And it's been a very interesting week in sports because, you know, the baseball trade deadline is tonight.
In fact, I was hoping we'd have a guest,
John Macy,
or someone else would be able to come in because you know me, you know, baseball's not my forte, but I did know that the baseball deadline was tonight.
That's right. And you know, the Toronto Blue
and
Jays
seem
to be the one to pay the price to get Dave Price.
How are the Phillies doing?
The Phillies?
Yeah.
Well, I think if the Phillies just traded Cole Hamels to the Texas Rangers for six prospects. The Phillies know that they've got to rebuild and rebuild as soon as they can. They decided wisely, I think, not to go the free agent route, but to go the same route the Red Sox have gone and the Yankees are doing right now. They are trying to keep as many good minor league players as they have, a lot of the younger guys. They traded Cole Hamels to the Texas Rangers, a team that's going nowhere this year, for six very good prospects that I think we'll see it. In either Redding or in Allentown playing for the Iron Pigs sometime next season, and maybe even one or two of them coming up after September when the rosters expand to 40 players. The Phillies are going nowhere this year except home to watch the postseason on television, so I think we're going to be in a situation where maybe next year the Phillies leave the cellar and are able to at least be competitive, because they've been just god-awful this year despite a five-game win streak and Cole Hamels' no-hitter. I think he was very shrewd to pitch a no-hitter just before the trade deadline. I bet the Phillies got a couple extra minor leaguers for that. And, you know, this was not a trade of one dog for two cats, as Bill Veeck liked to say back in one of my favorite books, Veeck is in Rec. If you ever want to hear about the business side of being in baseball in the 40s and 50s, try this book. It's wonderful.
Well, but not only that, there are Bill Veeck stories in and out of books. I mean, he just was notorious. But he also was somebody who was such a showman. I mean, he made the game of baseball also not only sport, but
entertainment.
You know, entertainment. Big time entertainment.
You know, he was the first one to put players' names on the back of their uniforms, and the only team that's resisted doing that is the New York Yankees. Veeck had an interesting reasoning. He wanted the sport of baseball to appeal more to women, and, you know, as most of us have figured out by the age of 60, women have babies, and babies have names, and a lot of those babies have last names. So, maybe a woman doesn't want to learn all those numbers, but seeing the name on the back makes it easier for someone to build a loyalty and follow a player.
Are you kidding me? Was that his reasoning?
That was his rationale. Absolutely. It made it easier for more people to enjoy the game and to recognize the player and to follow a player rather than just memorizing his numbers. Now, as a kid, I would memorize numbers, so I could tell you that Al Kaline, the hated Detroit Tigers, wore number 9. But so did Roger Maris, my beloved Yankees, until they traded him to the Kansas City Athletics. So, you know, you have all those things that are back in what I'm going to call the attic of everybody's mind from childhood. But Veeck also, as you know, was famous for sending the midget up to the bat.
And telling him that there was a sharpshooter up on the grandstand on the roof. That's it. You got it. And there was a sharpshooter, and if he took a swing at that ball, then he would be dead.
And remember, he told the guy who was batting, Eddie Gaedel.
Yeah, that was Eddie Gaedel who was
Eddie
the
Gaedel.
Midget.
For the St. Louis Browns, he told him that he was to kneel over so that the strike zone would be slightly less wide than the baseball in diameter. But instead, Gaedel stood up there and looked like he was going to swing away. And whether or not there was a sniper up there, Pat, I don't know. But the pitcher was laughing so hard he could barely. Get the ball to the catcher 4 times. So it was the only intentional walk in baseball history, probably.
Well, and Pete Gray played for Veeck on the Browns also.
That's right.
Of course, he was probably the only one-armed major leaguer, was he?
I don't know.
I think so. I think he may have been.
That could very well be.
He was, and I can't remember. I think he might have lost his arm in a farm accident or something, but you know, he was out there, Pete Gray. But apparently, you know, the St. Louis Browns, if you know, I know some older guys who had been St. Louis Brown fans, and I mean, they were talking about diehard fans, and you know, of course, the kids today wouldn't even know who the St. Louis Browns were.
And or who they became. Do you know who they became, Pat?
Oh. If I think about it long enough, I do.
I'll give you a hint. Their colors are orange and black, and they're not the St. They're not the San Francisco Giants.
No, I don't remember.
And they serve great crab cakes in the stadium.
I'm guessing.
Want to buy another hint? I'll sell
nope,
it to you
no,
for
you
nothing.
Just tell us who it is.
It's the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, I thought so, but I wasn't sure. And
they replaced a AAA team in Baltimore when Vec could no longer afford to pay the Brown salaries because attendance was so bad. And the beer concession at Sportsman's Park was held by Budweiser because the Bush family owned both Budweiser
right.
and the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. The St. Louis Cardinals, as you know, have been almost as successful as the New York Yankees with all the pennants that they've won. And the Cardinals were the team that I think a lot of the people in the Midwest, in the southern Midwest, like in Arkansas and northern Illinois, and even in Iowa, would follow. So
Well, not northern Illinois.
They were either
White Sox or
Cubs.
Cub
fans. Right. But, you know.
But you're right. Southern, you know, you forget how large some of those states are. You get into southern Illinois, and that's really the South.
It is indeed. You know, Bill Vec was had a very colorful career in baseball, but he was also a Marine. He went ashore in one of the first waves in Guadalcanal, and he was wounded on Guadalcanal by a Japanese sniper, and he lost his left leg. And so he had a wooden leg. And when he finally got his wooden leg from the Marine Corps, of course, he was mustered out after World War II, even though he insisted on serving at a desk job where he was a lieutenant, I think. But when he would get into negotiations in baseball or for negotiating the parking rights for a stadium or when he got into it with a player and perhaps a player's agent. Remember, this was the year of the where the reserve clause was still in effect. Right before he would want to stomp out of the room, he'd yank his wooden leg out of his pants and throw it on the table and yell, "Why don't you take that too?" So, Vec is in Rec, a great book
yes,
if you can ever find it, folks. I know it's in the Huntington County Library, but it's probably been out of print a lot of years, but it's certainly worth reading.
Yeah, and I think it'd be interesting for some of the kids. I mean, somebody like John, who knows so much about baseball, John Macy, who's been in, and he does. He knows so much about baseball. And those are the kinds of books that really teachers should allow the kids to read because they should read anything that they're interested in. And some of those books are really, you know, would give them the history of the game.
And, sure would, Pat.
And of course, some of the history of the game is not that great. But we also have to talk about the big story. But you keep talking a little bit about what's happening on the trades. And
well,
then,
you
of
know,
course,
the Yankees,
we have to get to football and
sure.
the big issue
be,
this
be
week.
Glad to do that, Pat. You know, the Yankees bought low. They made a deal for former draft bust Dustin Ackley, who they acquired from the Mariners for an outfielder, Ramon Flores, and a right-handed pitcher, Jose Ramirez. It was really funny because Ackley was a second-round pick, draft pick out of North Carolina, where he played second base, but he's only played that position one game in 2 years, and he's mostly considered an outfielder. He'll join the Yankees tonight in Chicago when they play the White Sox. In 85 games this year, 63 in the outfielder and the rest pinch hitting, he's hitting .215. Six home runs, 19 RBIs, and has a .635 on-base percentage. The advantage I think the Yankees get is he's a good utility player. His glove isn't bad. The Yankees got rid of Ramirez, who was once their top pitching prospect. I saw him pitch at Trenton. But he's had rib cage injuries off and on over the years, and he's just not playing well. Additionally, Flores was hitting .219 as a left-handed hitter and was playing the outfielder. So really the question is going to become, where do the Yankees put Ackley? Chris Young's developed into a good fourth outfielder, so they're going to keep him. Although Ackley no longer plays second, the Yankees may let Brendan Ryan or Stephen Drew go to make some room. Ackley also has limited experience at first base, which could put Garrett Jones's roster spot in trouble. Meanwhile, the Toronto Blue Jays have really loaded up. Yesterday, they acquired David Price from the Detroit Tigers.
How were the Toronto Blue Jays able to, you know, get all of that, as you say, loaded up?
Well, they've loaded up because right now they're a 500 team. I think they are in a win-now mode. They've gotten rid of a number of minor leaguers. They dumped a number of contracts last winter from very highly paid players. And they got Tulowitzki from the Rockies, who's a great shortstop. And I think he's leading the majors in hits, in batting average. And so what I believe is going on here is that Toronto is going to try to make a run against the Yankees. The Yankees right now are about 7 games up, and I think the Yankees can have really taken the last couple of series. They've dominated Baltimore and took 3 from the Orioles, which I expected they'd take 2 out of 3.
I mean, are they
2 out of 3 from the Twins?
Are they to the point where, you know, no one's ever going to overcome them?
No, I think the Yankees have got their problems. Now, the problem was with the frontline starting pitching, but they really only need to get 5 innings out of any starter these days. You know, they just put Pineda on the disabled list for 15 days with a problem in his elbow. So Michael Pineda's out on the disabled list for the next 2 weeks. He'll be back roughly August 16th when I think they play the Red Sox in Boston. The Yankees also are going nowhere with C.C. Sabathia, who had to leave the game against the Texas Rangers in the 5th inning with heat exhaustion. I wonder whether Sabathia's out of shape or whether he's got some kind of illness going on, because he's, what, 2-8, 2-10. He hasn't pitched well at all this season, even though he's gotten some run support. But the Yankees have strengthened the bullpen to the point where they can get 5 innings out of a starter and then pass the baton and just, see their excellent bullpen mow people down. Will the Yankees get to the playoffs? Yes, I think so, barring some complete collapse. Will they get to the World Series or the AL Championship? That's anybody's guess. Toronto's taking a big gamble, whereas the Yankees, realizing that they have to rebuild their farm system, passed on Cole Hamill, passed on Dave Price, even though they get, say, 10, 15 starts out of Dave Price, and then what would happen is, you know, he's a rental player. His contract is up. Cole Hamill still has a number of years to go on a $75 million contract, and if Texas is willing to pay that, great. They gave the Phillies an awful lot of good young players, and the Yankees have finally realized that, contrary to George Steinbrenner's win-now attitude and win every year, that they've got to rebuild their farm system. And so the Steinbrenner sons, particularly Hank Steinbrenner, have done just that. They've got some excellent prospects that we'll see both at Trenton or at Wilkes-Barre-Scranton in AAA. And I encourage anybody who wants to see people who will be playing for the Yankees in a year or two, head down to Trenton some Saturday night or Sunday afternoon. Got some great young ball players there.
Yeah, and it's really Trenton is a fun place to go. Very easy to get to, enthusiastic crowd, great place to take kids. And you're right, you know, it's not just going to be seeing guys going nowhere. I mean, if they have some of these good prospects, they're going to be going up, and you'll be, you know, hearing about them and having to spend a ton of money if you want to go into Yankee Stadium. I hear, by the way, Bill, that are the Mets still in it?
Well, the Mets are in second place, and you know, although they like to say there's no crying in baseball, the other day when the Mets were up by a huge, huge score over the most recent opponent, I think the Brewers, Wilmer Flores started crying out at shortstop. I'm still trying to figure out why. There was an article in today's New York Post by Kyle Smith that said,
he completely forgave Wilmer Flores and those making fun of the short stuff having a weeping moment. All athletes cry sometimes. Remember, he was going to get traded as part of the deal the Mets tried to make for Gonzalez. And what happened was he ran out to shortstop and he got a huge applaud from the crowd and he just started crying. The Mets may still deal him before there was a chance the Mets might have dealt with him before the 4 o'clock deadline, which just passed an hour and 20 minutes ago. So it's not midnight, as I said, but 4 o'clock this afternoon, the trade deadline without waivers is over.
But, Bill, why don't you explain what that means?
Okay,
what's a trade deadline without waivers?
Well, a trade deadline without
waivers
Braves could simply send a guy to the Dodgers and get a guy back. After 4 o'clock today, if the Braves wanted to send a guy to the Dodgers and get somebody back, each team below them in the standings and each team below the Dodgers in the standings would have a chance to claim that player off of waivers. And if that happened, then if the Braves still wanted to make that deal with the Dodgers, each team would have to give up something more to the team that exercised their waiver rights.
Okay, so that's now when they do that, do they have to guarantee if someone's under contract? I'm assuming that they still have to agree to pay whatever their contract was. So let's assume the Braves made a really stupid contract from the Braves standpoint. I don't think they ever do that, but let's assume that they had agreed to pay someone way too much money. New team has to pay that person way too much money.
If you claim them off waivers, you've got to pay what the contract
calls for. But even if there's a trade.
Exactly.
I mean, even if there's the trade without any waivers.
There might
not
be a trade. If somebody is claimed off of waivers, his services belong to that team for the duration of his contract unless he chooses to retire.
But let's say that the Braves decide to trade a player with another team. He still has to be paid under his original contract for the term of that contract, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. But, you know, Pat, we've talked a lot about baseball already. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on with the NFL training camps. And the first thing, of course, is Tom Brady.
Well, we have to talk about Tom Brady.
Well, there's a missing cell phone somewhere.
Well, and then that's interesting. You're right.
I lost a cell phone a couple of weeks ago in court in the Trenton area, and I had it shut off. But I don't think it's that cell phone.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, it's interesting because some of the pundits I've heard said, or I think Brady himself said, well, my attorneys told me that they could not get my cell phone records. Well, I don't know of any basis for that kind of a claim, and I can't believe any attorney would say that to a client, because one of the things that as attorneys, and this is, I guess we get attorneys in sports here, but, you know, there's spoliation. I never can say the term. But we know as attorneys that people can't get rid of computer records, telephone records, hard copy records. I mean, for Brady to make that statement, to me, seemed like it compounded the stupidity of all of this.
Well, you know, I learned that email... the E in email stands for evidence, Pat.
You're right. You can't.
And it's all discoverable, folks, so be careful what you put in your emails or what you may download from the Internet because, you know, computer records are certainly discoverable, and not just by the National Security Agency, but also by any of us lawyers. As lawyers, we have the power to issue a subpoena, and then somebody has to go in and file a motion to quash.
And it's more and more difficult, as I was talking in the law program, it's easier to get those records. In fact, somebody who was involved is getting the grand jury records from the grand jury's decision not to indict some of Governor Christie's allies. And so that those records, even grand jury records, can, in fact, in certain cases, be obtained. And so that you're right about email. I mean, email, things on Facebook. I mean, obviously, Facebook is public. Emails are not. But people have to be very careful, especially in cases where I've seen especially the problem in sexual harassment cases, where someone is denying that they've sexually harassed another person. And, you know, if there's any emails, anything at all, telephone records, text messages, I've certainly been able in family law cases to pull and to get text messages entered into evidence.
Oh, absolutely.
Against someone.
We've done the same thing in the cases that I've had to try. And I will tell you also, be very careful about the photographs you take using a smartphone or a cell phone, because those are discoverable also.
Absolutely.
You would know better than I, Pat, how many compromising photos are taken by people who may be in another relationship outside of their marriage and end up with a problem when somebody finds them on their smartphone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem, obviously. It, frankly, fault. You know, unless it's economic fault or egregious fault, it really doesn't make any difference any mm-hmm. longer in family law cases. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that, but it doesn't have an impact unless it's financial fault or egregious fault. Or mm-hmm. you know, so but in this case, I think the other thing that I've heard people complain is usually when there's an appeal. Whatever the initial suspension has been lessened. I can't believe that that's being argued. But, you know, and frankly, you know, I think that some people would argue that I guess this wouldn't have been such a big deal if some of these other things had not happened. But look how long other people have been suspended. And this truly had an effect on the game. Let's remember, and I'm not justifying Peterson and his abuse of his four-year-old, but that had nothing to do with the game. Other situations where players have been suspended for drug use, or you know, when it's off season, that had nothing to do with the game. There, you know, domestic violence, that had nothing to do with the game. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be suspended, but the point is that this had a direct impact on a game. And frankly, for that reason, I think that it should be considered serious and perhaps even more serious. Because I guess the question is, at what point should the commissioner get involved in what are really personal situations? Any comment on that, Bill?
No, I really don't know the right answer to that. Obviously, we have an NFL that wants to present a squeaky clean image, at least where the players are concerned and where young people might see it again. And also, when you get domestic violence, it hurts their ability to appeal to a female audience as well, particularly when it's the man committing violence against a woman. But we also have an interesting problem. One of the New York Jets, Sheldon Richardson, suspended for 4 games for using marijuana. Has now revealed that on July 14th he was charged with a variety of traffic violations, including going 143 miles an hour and eluding the police, getting caught with a loaded semi-automatic handgun in a car which is alleged to have reeked of marijuana. Now, he's one of their better defensive linemen, along with guys like Muhammad Wilkerson and Damon Harrison, all who are going to have contracts coming up soon. So he's got a 4-game suspension for marijuana use, and that's not the first time. First time players who for the first time are detected as having used illegal drugs are given a warning and classes and information about drug abuse and why they shouldn't using drugs. The second time, no, there are suspensions. So a 4-game suspension for having a bad urine test or some other type of drug test. It seems to be what the collective bargaining agreement calls for. The squeaky clean image of football and sports and its appeal to young people, certainly people shouldn't be using drugs, but I have to beg the question, when it comes to drug use, what if you're playing for the Seattle Seahawks or the or in Colorado for the
Broncos.
I'm sorry, I had a senior moment there. I do remember the 60s, folks. but what happens is it's legal to use marijuana in those states. In fact, I have read that you can go to a store and buy some if you are so inclined. I certainly wouldn't want to be driving in those states because I think you'd be taking a big chance.
I think you can still get a DUI in those states. But
wouldn't surprise
me. I guess the point is there are certain things, and maybe even drug use, certainly during the season, you could say that affects the football game. But Brady belly aching, I don't think many people have sympathy for him.
I don't have the slightest sympathy for Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. In fact, you know what the Jets did, Jet fans did? They hired an airplane to fly over the Patriots practice field and with a sign that said, the plane was towing a sign that says, "You're a bunch of cheaters." and, of course, the Patriots all said they didn't see it, but the plane was flying about 400 feet. And if you go to the Jersey Shore, you know that there are airplanes always flying over the beach, say, advertising beer or suntan lotions or restaurants or bars or concerts. So I'm sure they saw it. And I thought that was pretty clever, the Jets Nation, the Jets fans, to band together, get some money, and pay a pilot to fly that sign over the Patriots field.
Well, the fact is, there's probably almost no amount of money that some of these guys can be fined, and still, you know, the money doesn't make much difference if you're making what Brady does. I mean, what could they fine him?
He must be making what, $16 million a season?
I mean, so what could they fine him? $10 million? Of course they wouldn't do that. So, you know, a $500,000 fine, you know, to most of us would look like it's huge, but, you know, to him, not that he'd like it. And then the question
but who does
would
it
be,
really
is it
hurt?
Tax deductible?
But who does it really hurt? Remember, on one hand, they all sign a professional player's contract that's approved by a collective bargaining agreement where there are performance clauses and behavior clauses. So they've, in effect, consented to whatever the type of discipline is that's imposed. Secondly, who does it really hurt? The schedule's already there. Season tickets have all been sold. I don't think you can buy a ticket to a Patriots game unless you're going to go to a scalper or go to one of these online services, because they always sell out. And I have to believe that, okay, maybe they won't win their first four games, but I've got to believe the Patriots have good enough players and good enough backup quarterbacks that for the first four games, maybe they go 2-2. I don't even know who they play or who they open with, Pat. Do you?
I think one of their preseasons, I thought, was with the Packers, but I don't even remember
right now.
But that
would be a preseason game. But, who's
what?
Really
we
getting
have
punished?
To take a quick, well...
Who's
really
getting
punished?
The fans who paid good money to see him.
Well, but is he, when he's suspended, does he get paid?
I don't think so. But
well,
he's got enough money that, as you point out, it doesn't matter.
Well, no. My point was that fining him doesn't matter. Oh, I think suspending him is the right thing to do. And, in fact, I do think that matters. And, are the fans going to be affected? You know, maybe the person that's cheering on the sidelines is the whoever's going to play quarterback for those first four games. But we're going to be back in just a minute after we talk about some of our commercials. So hold that thought, Bill.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Well, we're back. It's the Sports Guys, and I was right. The Packers are playing the Patriots. In fact, they're playing in the first preseason game at Foxborough. And now my question is, since Brady is suspended for the first 4 games, can he play preseason? Because if he can play preseason, that might be a fun game between the Packers and the Patriots. If, in fact, Brady can play, certainly we all know preseason games are, you know, we don't usually see the quarterbacks other than, for the first, few throws. That could be a fun game to go to. And, in fact, anybody who wants to see the Packers, there will be Packer fans there. Bill, I'll bet there are Packer fans that even travel from Wisconsin because they're just such loyal fans.
Well, let's certainly hope so, because, people will follow the Grateful Dead anywhere. So why not follow the Green Bay Packers? You know, it's fun football. It's a party atmosphere. The game is always fun to watch, and it's great even whether your team wins or loses, as long as they're going to be competitive. And even in these preseason games, a lot of people think, well, it's a preseason game, I'm not going to see the stars.
Well, they don't. I mean, come on.
Going to see the guys who are trying hard to look for a spot on the team.
Exactly. But that problem with going to that third preseason game is, you know, that's exactly who you're seeing. And, you know, how many of them are going to be there for the first game of the season? And, of course, then we'll get back onto my big thing. I think there should be, the roster should be expanded. I think it would help with injuries. I think it would give players who need more time to develop, give them that opportunity. And, you know, I know every year I sound like a broken record, but certainly the teams can afford to pay the more players. They'd be paying them the base salary, and I'm not sure what that is this year, but it's really not that much compared to what we think of as football players earning, and it would just give that many more players a chance to develop.
Right, but remember something. In case you are a cynic, Brady comes back Sunday night, 8:30, NBC, against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, wasn't that a rematch of the AFC Championship game?
You've got it.
Wow. Boy, the NFL really knows how to punish its fans and get everybody looking at that big eye. I think.
And where are they playing that game?
They're playing that game in Indianapolis.
Oh, so the fans don't get to see him for what, the first five games?
The first four games. Because remember, it's the week before is their bye week. It's their bye week the week before.
Well, but he doesn't get to play for four games.
That's right. So he doesn't get to play on the 10th of September against Pittsburgh, the 20th, Sunday the 20th, against the Bills. He doesn't get to play the 27th against the Jaguars, and he doesn't get to play on the 11th of October against the Dallas Cowboys, and their bye week is October 4. So
wow.
I think you end up with a very healthy, very rested Tom Brady for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
so
fifth game that he can start playing in is going to be in Indianapolis.
That's right.
So when is the first time that Patriot fans are going to get to see Brady at Foxborough?
Well, this ought to be like red meat to a hungry lion. It'll be Sunday, October 25th against my New York Jets, 1 o'clock Eastern time on TV.
Wow.
On CBS. And then they host the Dolphins, and then the Redskins, and then they go visit the Giants on November 15th, which might be an interesting game.
That could be a very interesting game.
Because, you know, I think the Giants are going to bounce back. I think they're going to have a good season. I recognize that Jason Pierre-Paul may be missing a finger, but somehow I think he's coming back to...
Is he playing?
Jason Pierre-Paul is, made the mistake of trying to hold a firecracker in
his hand. No, I understand, but he didn't retire?
No, he didn't retire, as far as I know. I think he's going to be on the Giant roster. He's declined their medical staff's help, and he seems to be rehabbing on his own, which is pretty odd because Victor Cruz, when he came back from his injury, said that the Giants' medical staff was the best he ever saw, and they really took very good care of him.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought he was going to retire. Maybe I'm somebody else then who was injured. Is going to retire. Now I don't remember who it was.
I'm not so sure that it may have been. I don't know who it was. I'm not aware of anybody retiring. But at this point, whether Jason Pierre-Paul packs it in or not, that's his business. It really doesn't matter to me. I think the Giants will still have a good defensive season, if nothing else.
Well, tell you what, why don't we play a couple more spots? We got a little bit behind, and then we'll come back and figure out how to say it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and perhaps you have some sailing news.
I'd be good.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, Bill, we're back, and now I hear that actually I gave a commercial for the chamber, which I truly believe it's a great way to meet people, meet local businesses, and you know, one of the things that's terrific is to do business locally, and that was one of the things today. I was at, Bill, you didn't hear this, but I went, had to be in Pottersville, and so the Pottersville, I think that was their 52nd, 53rd annual show and antique sale, and they have a luncheon. This is sponsors the fire department, and they have a luncheon under tents, really very, very nice. And they do this, I think it was yesterday, today, tomorrow. And they have dinner at night, and they have lunch during the day. And there were well over 100 people there at
lunch.
I think
that's wonderful.
It really was. And, as I said, for anybody who might be interested, stop by tomorrow at lunch and be sure to have the ice cream and peaches. I mean, the peaches over the ice cream, I mean, they were to die for. They were really, they were so fresh. They were so... They were just perfectly ripe. So, you know, you go to the store sometime, you buy those old hard peaches. I think it was Melix. These came from Melix, which is one of the local growers, one of the larger growers in the area. But everybody was working. People, you know, people take off a couple days to volunteer. They had some young teenagers who were the waitresses, and they had a number of sandwiches, and I said drinks, sandwiches. And they had a number of desserts, but by far everybody had clued me in to do the vanilla ice cream and peaches.
Well, there's nothing like a Jersey fresh peach, especially from here in Hunterdon County, and certainly from Melix Farm, where I've had those peaches. They're always wonderful. You know, Pat, I love peaches, especially in ice cream or peach pie. And it's hard to find good peaches except right around this time of year. But
well,
you know what comes up next that are always my big thing? Those Mount Rainier white cherries. I love those things.
Well, you know, the point is that what this reminded me of today, and, you know, those of you who know me know I grew up in Wisconsin, this reminded me of the small town ice cream socials where people got together from band concerts. Many people, you know, knew each other there. They were greeting each other, and but even if you didn't, I mean, it would be, you know, you sit down. They had large tables, and it was just a very pleasant, you know, place to have lunch. So if you're driving by and you don't know where Pottersville is, there's some very pretty back roads in Hunterdon County, you know, stop in Pottersville around lunchtime tomorrow, and. You know, support our local fire fire departments, because we're very lucky that we still have so many volunteer fire departments in New Jersey and in Hunterdon County. And, you know, our taxes are high enough without having to pay more taxes for totally fund all of the fire departments. And they do such a great job, the rescue squads and the fire departments. Anybody ever has to use their services, you'd agree with me.
That's absolutely true. And to correct your comment about Jason Pierre-Paul, he has not retired. He's either been told come home and report to camp for conditioning drills, or don't play at all. The plea was made by John Mara through the media yesterday. And, you know, Pierre Paul had a firecracker accident on July 4, so I'm going to tell everybody out there, careful with that stuff. You never know.
So, in other words, they're telling me you got to come in
to play
if you're going to play.
Right. It's preseason. It's time to get in shape to play. Who knows just how badly he's injured. We know he's lost a finger and part of another one. How that's going to affect a defensive tackle or any other offensive lineman, I'm not so sure. But, you know...
But why would he be holding out if, in fact,
I don't know. No, and nobody really seems to know the answer. His camp has been very quiet about it. Perhaps he's injured worse than he thinks. And, you know, he's in the last year of a contract, so this is a big year coming up for him. He has to have a very good year for
the Giants.
How old
is he now, do you know?
I think he's 30.
So for a defensive player, he's probably getting towards the end of his career.
It wouldn't surprise me, Pat. You know, the Giants have already yanked their multi-year deal after his contract ended. Excuse me, I stand corrected, after the 2014 season. So, and he's a franchise player. They made the franchise tender of $14.8 million. So, you know, he might be able to sign with another team, but the Giants may have no choice if he continues his seclusion. He isn't going to be a $14 million player in 2015. Even at 100%, he's missed the optional team activities. He's now behind in learning the new defense that defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo is implementing. Now throw the hand injury in there. Are you going to give him $14 million? I wouldn't.
Yeah, but do they have to?
No.
If he comes back?
No.
Why not?
Remember... if he's not going to show up...
But let's assume he shows up.
Let's assume he shows up. All football contracts are not guaranteed. And even though he was one of the guys in his second year, in 2011, he helped the Giants go to a Super Bowl. He had 16 and a half sacks last year. And the Giants really needed him last year, but he didn't have a good season. The difficulty that I see is that if he doesn't come home soon, he may have to find a new team, and the Giants are not going to be bound by their obligation to pay him the $14 million.
Yeah, but is he obligated? I guess the question I have is, he really obligated right now to show up unless he gets himself traded? And I think that this would be a tough year.
To show up.
You know, this is not going to be a good time for him to go out trying to find another team.
No.
Because if he plays for the Giants for another year and does a great job, irrespective of his injury, then he's going to be more marketable.
I would think. And remember, the Giants have designated him as a franchise status player.
And tell the audience what that means.
That means that he's got to be offered the same amount he made previously with some increment, and I forget what the percentage is. Plus, any team that matches that offer must also trade the Giants one of their franchise designated players, or else this guy is otherwise untouchable by another team. It's a way of carving something out of the reserve clause. Now, it's been years since I've read the recent football collective bargaining agreement, but it's
you mean to say you've done that?
I've actually done that.
And how many pages, Bill? Only Bill. You
how
know,
many
I
pages?
Bet you.
I think
only
it's
Bill.
About 75 or 80 pages, including appendices and attachments. You know, those of us who are lawyers find that there's an addiction to reading legal documents after a while. There's medication for it.
I hope so, because I have to tell you, no way have I ever even read 10 pages. Although I'm sure that there are things that would be very interesting to our audience. So maybe what we'll have to do is designate Bill as our reader of the NFL contract. Now, I mean, do they take a standard contract and then doctor it for every player? I mean,
I think that's
does
exactly
every team have a contract? I mean, one of the things that those
There's
of us
There's a standard
who are,
player contract in the NFL. I know that, just like there is in baseball and in a National Hockey League. And the teams are allowed to deviate from that. What the NBA does, I do not know. But when you have a collective bargaining agreement, it lays out essentially what has to be in any player team contract. And there can be incentives, say for so many runs batted in, or for so many sacks, or for so many field goals, or if you score more than 20 goals in hockey, or if you have a high plus minus in hockey. So there are incentives, or if you're in so many games, or what have you. But
my question
there are
is,
milestones, too, and those milestones relate directly to the team's ability to market. Because remember, if two players are on a home run chase, like Maris and Mantle were to beat Babe Ruth's record in 1961, that riveted the country, and you got an awful lot of eyeballs watching on TV. And so they were getting to watch all the beer commercials and the hot dog commercials and everything else. So the fact that a player is incentivized financially for hitting a milestone is very important.
But my question is, on these contracts, can they deviate in every way? I mean, can they deviate if somebody wants something in and they're willing to give it? I mean, how individualized are some of these contracts? I think that's what would be very interesting is to see.
It is interesting. You may remember when Ilya Kovalchuk signed with the New Jersey Devils, he was front-loaded for $17 million of a $71 million contract. And the Devils had to rescind the contract, give up some draft choices, and take a couple of lumps from the league, including a because they were really trying to evade their salary cap by front-loading so much of Kovalchuk's contract. Oddly enough, he got tired of playing in the NHL and went back to Russia, where he now plays for Moscow in the KHL.
Well, let's just talk about football contracts. So I think the interesting thing would be to see the standard contract and then what other things can be negotiated. I mean, obviously, we know even some of the draft choices. You know, I think, has everybody now been signed? Because I know there usually are some holdouts. And
I don't know the answer to that. Sometimes you'll see a draft choice decide football's not for them. They want to go do something else. We've seen that in sports where a player gets drafted in two sports. He decides, say, football's not for him. He'd rather play Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the guys who are just trying to negotiate, I guess, a better deal. And then I don't think there's anybody, and I don't recall anybody other than, of course, Eli Manning, who just said he wouldn't play for the team that drafted him.
Well, I remember that, and you know, you don't have to sign a contract. You can say,
but you have to sit out for a year unless somebody else will trade.
Yeah,
correct.
I think so.
I mean, you cannot play. Someone who's drafted might say, "I don't like that team. I want to play for a better team." They don't have a choice unless the team that drafts them does and is willing to trade them to another team. That's how Eli got to the Jets. Giants.
The Giants. And I forget who drafted him. I think it might have been the Rams.
I think it might have been the Rams.
And he didn't want to play there, so his agent negotiated something for him to go to play
someplace
else.
No, he refused to pay. Right away, that year was one of the top stories. He refused to play for that team and apparently was willing to
sit
out and, you know, seemed like a little snot at the time, frankly. he came from, you know, this very
illustrious football family.
Illustrative, and apparently, his father didn't want him to play for that team, and, you know, he didn't want to play, and he wasn't going to. And, as it was, he lucked out and was picked up by the Giants.
Well, elite players have that ability to say who they're going to play for.
Well, not really.
But the run-of-the-mill guy doesn't always have that ability.
They don't really, I don't think these guys have a great, they get drafted, they play, they may then get themselves traded later on, but they play with who they're drafted. I mean, that's one of the, whatever. It's now time for us to go to
Say goodbye, everybody, and we're going to
get up off that couch, and we'll go to our weekly rewind, assuming it works.
We'll see you next week.
That's right.
The news
folks.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC.